record. And we have Owen. I think we can get Owen to read that plan.
That plan, the Old Testament.
And we're going to do that. And let me say, well, I will get into it in a minute. Let me just share. Let's do it this way. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. And we're still in Acts. And go to verse 10. It's Acts chapter 17. And I'm going to share some things the Lord's put on my heart. Acts 17. Last time I spoke in Acts was a few weeks ago, and we spoke on Lydia and a spirit of excellence. Then we had Team Challenge here, and then last week I went in a different direction. But we've been in Acts for quite a while, but I'm on chapter 17, it's going to be about the Bereans. And if you remember, Paul, and just as a quick recap, went down to Macedonia and Philippi, and Lydia was converted. And we have that story there in verse 11. And then Paul is actually in prison. There's a great passage there when they're worshiping the Lord. The Lord said an earthquake set him free from prison. And the jailer was converted. Believe in the Lord, and you shall be saved, you and your whole household. And that passage is in there as well. And then he goes to Thessalonica, first part of chapter 17. I've spent time on that previously. And then we get to Berea. And I'm going to read it, and I want to share some things with you. It's in my heart. Verse 10. It says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. They were kicked out of where they were. And so they sent them about 50 miles away to a place called Berea. And it says, when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few Greeks, prominent women as well as men. So two outstanding characteristics I want to share with you about, and I want to share my heart and kind of what got me to do this. They received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find it. Alexis, the chapter I gave you, it goes great with what you shared because it talks about seeking after the Lord daily. And it's a habit. Let me say this. Anytime you have New Year's, whether it's a Bible reading plan or worship or prayer, don't rely on your emotions to make you do it.
Yeah.
Or you're going to miss it a lot.
Amen.
Sometimes, I said this before, and some people disagree, and that's fine, but sometimes discipline can lead to desire.
Yes.
And if I discipline myself, you know, honestly, the Bible reading plan, I do it. And frankly, I don't want to, even now, like I do it, I can stay with it, but so I have to make myself do it sometimes. I do. I'd rather go a different route or read this or read that. But it's a truth that there is a discipline to it. And as I discipline, what happens is it becomes a part of my life.
Right.
And then it gets to the point where I can't do without it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I don't read my Bible, if I don't pray before I start my day, I'm having a rough time of it. So discipline leads to desire. It becomes a way of my life, a part of my life, becomes part of who I am. Okay? That's the case for anything. So I was in here yesterday, and I was going to speak on this, and I was really kind of belly aching with the Lord, if you ever do that sometimes. And one thing I do, and it helps me especially as a bivocational pastor, so I've been in Acts for a long time. And I can go from systematically exegetically through scriptures or through a passage or through a study. Some people don't do that. I do it. I prefer it. And I came to here, and you know, I didn't want to speak on it, to be frank with you. And I was in here, I had some stuff yesterday, and I came in the afternoon, and it was pouring rain, and I sent my wife a text and said, I said, my sermon is a mess. And so I had to pause for the calls, and I just stopped for a minute. And the Lord began to really speak to my heart and really challenge me and talk to me in a profound way.
Amen.
About this. And he began to speak to me about my life. And one of the things I've shared this before is it's a good principle to have. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, I've been open and transparent with you, basically. And sometimes as a minister, I would say this, anytime you minister anywhere, any avenue, you minister your life. Okay? It's not just, I know this passage or that. You minister your life and what's produced from your life. And so I want to share some stuff because the Lord's put it in my heart. He spoke to me and kind of nudged me in a way. I was listening to a story of the pastor sharing. He went to China to smuggle Bibles. And I don't know when this was. But he went, he told a story. He did it. It was a funny story, but he had like 50 Bibles, and they got through customs, and he said he was going through, and this guy saw him, but some guy came up to him, and how the Lord kind of intervened to get him there. But he said, what I didn't know is when we got there, we got to the place where we could distribute the Bibles. They couldn't pass out the Bibles. So they would take a page and rip out the page. They'd rip out each page of the Bible, and they would pass them. So you would get Acts 17. You get Acts chapter 16, verse 32 through Acts 17, 21. And then Lloyd would get Acts chapter 17, verse 22 through Acts 18, verse 17. And so you would read, and you would read, and then you would trade them back and forth.
Wow.
And I said, man, what is our problem in some ways?
Yeah.
It's not an issue of accessibility. Sometimes it's an issue of our distractions. And he talks about how they went there. I've seen a video where in China, they are somewhere, they had Bibles and they just rushed and they went like crazy to get to them. And there needs to be something in the body of Christ, I believe this, an emphasis on the scriptures, an emphasis on the Word of God. I was listening to Smith Wigglesworth. Most of you probably know who he is. He had a great prophecy, and I was listening. It was his grandmother, or no, his grandmother, it was his granddaughter. She was 100 years old. I don't know when it was. She's probably gone on to be with the Lord. But one of, she was talking about this in one of Smith Wigglesworth's great prophecies. He says that the last day church, before the Lord comes back, there's going to be a tremendous revival of word and spirit.
Amen.
You know, I've said this before, all spirit you blow up, all word you dry up. When you put them together, you grow up or you go up. It has to be a mix, okay? You worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I just want to challenge us. The Lord spoke to me, and I'm not just share what's in my heart already, to cultivate a love for this word, that it's not something dry, it's not just historical text, it's a living, breathing document that I can have a relationship with. Who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I read a story one time about a guy, I don't remember, Tim Keller wrote it, and he was miserable. I think he had a lot of money, just miserable. And so he said, I need a book that helps me through life, that gets me through. And so what he did, he got all these philosophy books, all these different books that spoke to him at different points of his life. And he cut pages out of them, and he would write or scissor cut different phrases and words and make a book. And I think he got sent to a hospital or a sane cell or somewhere. And he went back and he got out and he went to this book and he left him dry and empty. He said, because I can't, it doesn't speak to me. Someone left him. It's kind of like a Brad story. I wish Brad was here this morning. I think someone just came and just gave him a Bible. And he said, for the first time, I had a book that I didn't read. I had a book that read me.
Wow.
And I said, man, you know, this book, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. Like Kevin said this morning, I can read a passage. I can read John chapter 1, and it meant something to me 5 years ago. And then I read it again 5 years later, and I say, wow, I didn't see that. Where was I at then? Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Sanctify them by your Word, for your Word is truth.
Amen.
You can have encounters with God through the Word of God. And my prayer from my heart is that I would have encounters with this Word. I would have encounters with Him through this Word. And it wouldn't be dry historical text. Because you can read it that way. And let me say this too, because this is important. I would encourage everyone in here to some degree, in some way, to study what's called apologetics. And I assume nothing. Apologetics is basically the defense of the faith. Because what we have to realize is that in our culture, most people don't come from the standing. I could say, you know, this the Bible says this, and they could care less. That's an old, ancient, mythological textbook. Okay, there's some great studies out there. I almost started to do something like this, and I didn't. But do you know that it was a guy named Bruce Metzger, I think. He was a Princeton doctor, Princeton theologian, and F.F. Bruce, spent their life studying the text. They said 99.4 or 99.7, I think, percent that they had studied had been fully corroborated. And I have some facts I want to read to you real quick. And can you imagine that the Bible was written for so over so many years that I think Isaiah, hundreds of years before Christ was born, was prophesying a virgin birth. Micah 5:2, we just had Christmas. Hundreds of years before, prophesying the place where the Savior was going to be born. And there's 66 books written over a long period of time with a single thread running through it. It would take unbelievable amount of collusion to make this up.
It's a miracle.
It's an absolute miracle. And do you know what? The Bible, if you study it this way too, the Bible is the only book in any religion that's allowed itself to be thoroughly and rigorously investigated and tested and scrutinized. The Quran, they don't allow that for the Quran. I don't know the other books out there, but the Bible is the one book. It's been thoroughly, critically examined. Archaeological studies have proven scientists wrong. If you go, I have an archaeological Bible, and there's things that they say, well, this couldn't be true because this guy wasn't king then, and they'll go dig up something. Well, this guy was king, and that was his nickname, something like this. And it's all corroborated in the scriptures. Let me read something real quick, then I'm going to get back to the heart of this. It says, in the Bible, we have 5,000 Greek manuscripts, 100 of papyri, I can't say that word, my wife probably could, 350 Syriac copies, which with the early church fathers, there's another, let me read this quote real quick. And this is about the archaeological work. On the whole, archaeological work has unquestionably strengthened confidence in the reliability of scriptural record. More than one archaeologist has found his respect for the Bible increased by his experience for the excavation in Palestine. Archaeology has in many cases refuted views of modern critics. I would encourage you to, just for your own sake, I'm not going to do your homework for you, and I haven't studied it thoroughly myself, but look at apologetics with the Bible and just see proofs and different things that have been studied to show this is an actual account of the Word of God. On top of that, the countless lives over how many years that have been dramatically changed from the truths in the Scriptures. Amen. It's Word and Spirit. So let me get to this, what I wanted to share real quick. I was in here yesterday, and again, like I said, I was kind of belly aching because I wanted to go in a different direction. And I don't want to just say, do this because... But I want, as Alexis, that her prayer be everyone's prayer. Lord, give me a desire for.
Amen.
Lord, give me a desire and a hunger for your word. And I was remembering in my own life that I was, I loved the Lord growing up. I did. And but Bible reading was not my forte. And I had a Bible. I'd read like a verse at night, put it up. And I was about 18 years old. There's this good old Southern Baptist preacher down in where I went to college, and God used him in a way that made me really mad, because he basically told me, I'll tell you what he told me, I was about 18 years old, he said, I can't believe you've been in church and you don't basically know this about the Bible, and I wanted to just rear up and have some choice things to say to him, but once I got over my attitude, now, so I've said this before, everyone needs someone who God can send in your way to correct you without copying an attitude. That's an important sign of maturity in Christ-likeness. Okay? And I went through and I realized he was right. And so I said, this age, this guy, Southern Baptist, they're good at Bible, they're good at evangelism, they're great at some things. So I'm not going to let him be right. So I got this word. I got this word. I studied it, and I loved it. I loved it. I loved the Bible. My verse in Bible school is, I delight in your word as one who finds great treasure.
Amen.
I loved it. Loved to study. I was known as the guy who would always do that. I loved the word. And I found that, I'm just sharing it for me, because maybe this would speak to some of you, I don't know, but I felt to share it. And I found that in my own life. Honestly, I'll say this, and because the purpose of scriptures, the purpose of everything is that we become like Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't change, I change. And so the Lord knew the scriptures. And if you look in, and he knew the Old Testament, and when he went to, in Luke, when he went to the synagogue, he said he turned to the place where it was written. He says he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He was accustomed to going to the house of God. I want to be like Christ. And he was also turned to the place where it was written. He knew the scriptures. And he had to. Remember when he was in the wilderness. How did he turn back the enemy? What are the scriptures? He knew the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. And I knew the scriptures, and I used to study. And honestly, when I became a pastor, to be my transparent self, I got to where, man, all this is I'm reading my stuff. I'm just reading the Bible to keep up with it. And I'm looking at something for a sermon, and it got dry. And now maybe you don't have that example for, you know, various reasons, but maybe it's a different one. And so I found that for me, it's been dry, and it's been coming to me the last couple of months. I would tell Andrew, I said, Andrew, I miss the studies I used to do. She said, write books of stuff, writing stuff out, things I've never shared, I've never preached on. I used to love it. I love it. And it got so stale for me. And the Lord spoke to my heart yesterday. And in a way that's real to me. And to recapture that love. That this isn't just a stale book. This is an encounter with
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And I can read here and I can say Acts 17. I can go back. Oh, said this over here. Said here. I can see the thread throughout Scripture. This speaks to this. This speaks to that. This speaks to this. How does this change my life? How does this speak to me? How does this work with me? And I've gotten out of that. I went to the library this week, and I encourage you, Alexis, I thank you for sharing what you shared, because it's been my heart to just to really press into the Lord. I went to the library this week. I was up here Wednesday, and Bill came. I never heard Bill slip in until I left. But I was in here in the sanctuary, and Bill's in the library back there. And I picked up this book. And random book, flipped through it, and I saw Greensboro. Oh, I gotta stop it here. Anyways, it was a guy writing about a minister that's very familiar with me, we know about, that he met at a conference in Greensboro, North Carolina, 2002. I think I know the church. Like, what are the chances of that? Picking up a random book in the library, and God used it to speak and say to me in my own sense of calling. And part of that, too, is develop a love. So, what I'm doing for myself personally. And I'm sharing this to you because maybe this could apply to you in just a different way. I'm taking one day, probably my Monday nights, and I'm just going to go in and study the scriptures like I used to. Just not have anything to do with a sermon. I'll go through the book of Isaiah, get my Isaiah manual, and just dig in. What's the Lord saying here? What's He saying here? Because God spoke to my heart in a real way, and I have to share it because I know it's the word of the Lord for us. We can have an encounter with God through this word. It's a living, living thing. He's life. He's the word. And Him was the life. This word, I can do it. And it's just, oh, yes, it's the Bible. And I've gotten away from that. And it upset me. There's a passage in Ephesians. Let me read this. I've read this to you before when I did Ephesians. Throughout the scripture, the water is often used as a sign for the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word of God, that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle." So we've said that. The Lord's coming back. And I've said this before. I'm washed in the blood. Okay? That's a done deal. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I keep myself clean. There's a principle to applying the blood and pleading the blood. But as far as this passage goes, I keep myself clean through the water. The water. If you look at water, I remember when I came to this church, I'd been here for about a year, and I was in here one Saturday and went to the back shower back there. And I hadn't turned on since I've been here. And I turned on the water, and guess what happened? Black. Oh, shooting out. And so I had to let that run for a while and clean it. It was gross. I need to run it again, I guess. It's been a while. But there's a principle with water where it can stay fresh as it flows. I don't want stale water. So if I've had water that's just been sitting for days and days, usually in the app, get some fresh water. It stays fresh. How do we keep ourselves pure and clean and fresh? How can we keep ourselves youthful? I think that in the Word of God, there's new things, like Kevin said, each and every time I open it. There's a freshness to it. It had gotten stale with me. It had gotten sermon to sermon to sermon. And I want it to be fresh again.
Amen.
I want to turn to the book of Isaiah and go back. It's like, man, I remember doing this.
Amen.
and go back to that. Where's the freshness that just flows through me in such a way, and for you too. And it's not black coming out, it's black coming out of me, but freshness of water, fresh youthfulness. I keep myself clean for the Lord. I'm washed in the water of the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And I've said this before too. In Colossians, there's a passage that says that in all things He may have the preeminence. In all things. I've said this before. Anytime I take any particular, most of the time, I'll say this is I hate to give absolutes, but as a whole, if I take anything and make it all about me, it's easy to get into false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It has to be about Him. And just the simple things that we're doing a healing room. The healing room, in the end of the day, it's about the healer.
Right?
It has to be. If it comes about me and my gift and how I can do this and how I can do that, I begin to build a world that's centered around me. Okay? And so everything in life that we do, and I think this is important, in every place we have in life, the objective is, as I read this, it's like a chiropractor. It adjusts me. And so if I'm out of balance, as I go through the day and I'm out of whack, I see this, and again, it speaks to me and adjusts me. And I can encounter Him through it. Because one thing as you look through life, and one thing I love to do is listen to folks who are older than me, and sometimes you hear guys, and they've been in ministry for years and years and years, and they'll say, the older and older and older I get, I always go back to just one thing, just preaching Jesus and recognizing Christ-likeness.
Amen.
I'm called to be like Christ. And that's a constant, but at work, God dealt with me this week at work, even though I work remotely, and my family, and everything I do, Christ-likeness. When I read the scripture, He is the potter. I am to be like Him. It's hard to be like Him. We've become what we behold, basically. We look in the mirror, which is the verse in Corinthians. So as I look to Him, I become like Him. If I'm looking to myself, if I'm looking out here, if I'm looking to my own situation, to my own things in life, that's where I generate my stuff. That's what I become like. If I focus more on the devil than the Lord, I can align myself and become accuser of the brethren, you know? What are you paying attention to? What are you looking at? I'm aligning myself and I set my gaze. Alexis, that's good for you. You just set your gaze. Lord, I just give myself to You. Become more and more and more and more like Him as I look in His Word. Let me share one more thing as I close this. These guys in Berea, they didn't just read it and study it out. And let me say this too. They heard the Word and they searched the Scriptures. Always check guys out. And let me say this, don't discard something because they have something you don't. For example, I have a book at home and someone wrote a chapter that I didn't really see much scriptural basis in, to be frank with you. But the rest of the chapter, the rest of the books were amazing. Maybe he was wrong there, maybe I'm wrong there, maybe it's something. One thing you need in your Christian life is what I call the shelf. And so if someone shares something, don't just take it at face value. If it's your favorite preacher, don't know who he is. Do what the Bereans do, and they said they search the Scriptures daily. So you go to the Scriptures daily, you know? Okay? Anytime we listen, because it's important to also listen to the Word. They listened to Paul, did they not, the Bereans? One way we receive the Word is from others. Diversify your portfolio, okay? When you listen to the Word of God, I have several different people from wide streams I listen to because I want to know what they know about God.
Amen.
I want to hear what they have.
Amen.
I might not agree with everything. That's fine. There might be this thing that they're really on point with. Okay? And I'll receive that. Maybe I'll chew the meat and spit out the bones. Okay? And just encourage you. And don't become a accuser and cast people away just because they might have one thing that's different. We're the body of Christ. But receive from a wide variety of people. But I had something in here. And let me say this too. In Deuteronomy 28:1, just listen to me. I'm speak for about 5 more minutes. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth." And I find this interesting, just to say what I just said. They had the law, and everything in the law, but they still had to be able to hear the voice of the Lord as well. If you look at Joshua, that verse in Joshua says, "Meditate on His word day and night." Okay, but when Joshua, when they took, Joshua fought the battle in Jericho, he didn't get that from the wall. He got that from hearing from the Lord. So sometimes we have to hear from the Lord as well. I've spoken about hearing the voice of God. I'm not going to do that again. But I'm going to say it from this perspective, hearing the Word of God from other people, whether that's in a book form, always validate with the Scriptures that lines up with the Word of God. Whether it's in your favorite preacher on YouTube, or however that goes, your favorite guy on the cassette tape back there, go from YouTube to cassette tape, diversify yourself. But I wanted to share a couple things that I feel like are important before we go, just some things that could potentially be some challenges. One is presumption. And I spoke some about last week about familiarity. And here's my challenge to you. One of the worst things we can do when we read the Scriptures, and pay attention, is when I know the story end from the beginning. And the easiest thing to do when I know the end from the beginning is I read over it instead of reading it.
That's right.
And I miss. So I challenge you. Go home and get a story that you read in children's church and meditate on it. And say, Lord, show me something in here that I've overlooked. For example, David and Goliath. I got this a couple months ago. I think I shared it here. When he went out, he was delivering his brother's cheese. When he found out that Goliath is there. And I think, you know, I always read over that. You've got a man with this tremendous destiny, this tremendous anointing, this tremendous calling of greatness. And he was able to stoop low and become Christ-like to deliver his brother's cheese. And you can preach from that. And then you can, God can speak to you from that, right? Mm-hmm. He speaks to me that way. God has this great mandate. You can take that. Find a passage. There's one more thing I want to share along these lines. And I felt to do this very, very strongly because there's probably someone here who needs it. Who knows? I don't know who it is. But there's in the Old Testament, the priest in Leviticus, they had to have certain qualifications to be priest of the Lord. And one of them is that you couldn't have a scab. And so, how does that speak to us today? What's a scab? Scab's an open wound, right? It's not an open wound. It's a wound that's not healed, I should say. So if I get smashed in the face when Owen punched me, decked me, we're wrestling, I think it was, and he got me in the lip, if you remember that over Thanksgiving. It's something where it's a wound that's not completely healed. And it's been said that on the battlefield, think of Gettysburg or something, when there's bloody battles and there's troops down and slain, that you can hear the sound of flies coming like a freight train almost. Why? Because they're attracted to open wounds. They're attracted to stuff that's not been healed. What's one thing that Jesus calls Satan? Called a Beelzebub. Beelzebub, which means Lord of the Flies. And sometimes when I have open, unmet, undealt with issues, whether that be rejection. You know, everyone that's been rejected before.
Even Jesus.
Even Jesus would be like Christ. Jesus was rejected. How did he deal with it? Jesus himself said, deal with offenses. Deal with your adversary quickly. Deal with them on the way, he speaks about. Because sometimes if I have something that's a gash on me, it can be an open target for the Lord of the Flies to come in and hinder and maneuver my ability to hear either the word from someone, or it hinders my ability to hear the word from the Lord in the Scriptures. Guard your heart. And I felt strongly, strongly, strongly to share this, so there must be someone in here for that. If you have an open wound in you, it's maybe you're not even aware of it, but you have it. Offense, a rejection, a hurt. This guy did me dirty. You know, one of the things that leads to also is rebellion. Listen to this phrase. I know a guy back home, as far as Scripture goes, he could be a voice in the body of Christ. He's profound. He really is. But he had some open wounds. And I know him from a distance. I know him. I haven't spoken to him in a while. And so rejection gets in, and hurt gets in, and then he says things, I will never receive from another man, I just receive from God. Well, that's interesting, because how's one way God speaks to us? Through other people. So if I cut that out, and I only hear from God, then I'm saying, I want you to, this applies to you, but not to me, okay? So he cuts himself off. I don't hear from the Lord. I'm not going to hear from others. The other side of that ditch is saying, is the fear of man. I can either be fearful of man, or I can say, I'm not going to listen to man. I just listen to God. Either way, if you have any of that thing in your spirit, because it comes up often in the body of Christ, because rejections and wounds can happen to folks, be sure the Lord deals with that and patch it up, because it can lead to a slippery slope for you, okay? Just felt to caution that. That's in both receiving and listening to the Word. And I'll say this, the Lord can use us that He's working on, and I'm grateful for that, amen? But the Lord wants us to be free and whole. Salvation, spirit, soul, and body, them completely whole, amen? And that's important to do. That was for somebody, I know in my heart it was. I'm going to close this because I promise you it's going to be done in 5 minutes. Develop a passion for the Word of God and a love for the Word of God. Labor in the Word of God. Jim, I was spending time with the Lord last night and I wrote it down. And it says, scratch the itch. And when I was thinking of that, you're talking about kingdom principles. And sometimes we had a guy teaching me, if you have an itch somewhere, you need to scratch it. So if you have the kingdom principles, I believe the Lord's going to open it in tremendous ways. Just take time to meditate on those kingdom principles. Let me share a couple other things. Bob, I feel like the Lord says you are a Berean. Because you listen and you search the scriptures, and I believe you do it daily to see where these things are so. You continue that. Okay? Some of you, some of us in here, myself, I'm the biggest one, and I call myself out on it. I need to develop a love and a passion, get that passion back in my life where the Word's not stale. Some of you, it might just be starting to read for the first time. Some of you, it's doing what Kevin said. And there is, and I hate to say this, and I would say this no matter who's the pastor, there is a certain blessing that falls on that, because I believe that, and my wife said it too, do the Bible reading plan. It's not going to hurt you. If you say, I can't remember what I read, my wife's a good cook. I can't remember when she's cooked me, when she made me Brussels sprouts. I ate her Brussels sprouts because I think they're good. I don't remember unless I made them. But, yes, okay, thank you. I can't remember. But they were nutritious. And when I eat and I take in the Word of God, I might not remember some of it. It doesn't mean it's not doing me good. It doesn't mean it's not building my spirit. It doesn't mean it's not forming the foundation of who I am. It doesn't mean that when I go out in public somewhere, the Lord can just put a scripture in my heart. Why?
That's right.
Haven't thought about it. First, I gave Alexis this morning, I hadn't thought about it in a while. She was saying, Lord, just drop it in my spirit. How can you drop it in my spirit if I've never read it before?
Amen.
I know when I've read it last. I honestly don't. But I've read it. The Lord put it in my heart. So develop a love for the Word. Lord, I just pray that over everyone this morning. Lord, I believe there's been impartation, even as I've spoken. Lord, that there's a love for your Word. Lord, sanctify them by your Word. Your Word is truth. Lord, that your Word is truth, it is justice, it corrects us. Lord, that give us encounters with your Word. Lord, give us services where people come in and they say, I was with the Lord this week and I found this one verse. And I meditated all week on this one verse. And He spoke this to me. And it's the very thing that we need. It's the very thing that I have to have. It's the very thing that someone else needs. But just one verse, Lord, give us a desire for you that we've never had. Lord, give us a desire for your Word that we've never had. Lord, awaken me and awaken my heart, Father. Lord, the joy of studying the depths of your Word that makes me alive. The fullest thing I do, Lord, just being with you. Lord, that reading your Word is not dry and stale, but that it's a living, dynamic encounter with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We thank you, Jesus. You are good, faithful, just, and true. Thank you for leaving us with your Word.
Yes.
Lord, you put your mind in print for us. Lord, wrestle me away from distractions. Why would I distract myself when the God of the universe gave us His Word? Lord, give us a passion for it this morning that we've never had, that we're set off in the new year with the folk, with the Word of God within us, Lord. Not just in our minds, but in our spirits, Lord. That our mind is renewed and our spirit is awakened to fresh revelation from the the Word of God. We thank you. We love you. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.